Allahu Akbar.
Mike, what was that?
That was the Muslim call to prayer. Anyone who's ever been to a Muslim area of the world will know that five times a day, that long, drawn-out song will sort of echo throughout the whole city. And it basically tells all the Muslims, all the faithful, that they must pray. They must go to the mosque and pray at that time.
Well, listeners, we're going to be learning a little more about that today because it's the second day of this travel unit. And so I'm Lily, and we have Mike here in the studio, and he's going to be talking about his trip to Kashmir. All right, so if you joined us yesterday, you'll know that we started off with a really peaceful time. He was on a houseboat, and he had a really great time. And today, what are we going to be talking about, Mike?
Well, today we're going to enter into Srinagar proper, the busy old city that's there, and I'm afraid it's not going to be as peaceful. It's going to be more bustle, more commotion. I'm going to be visiting famous mosques, going and watching the prayers, and it's going to be a really incredible, exciting time, but I'm afraid not the tranquility of yesterday.
Well, I'm sure it's still going to be a very interesting article. Okay, listeners, if you haven't opened up your magazines, please do so. Today is May 9th as we read through the first two paragraphs of today's article.
Later in the afternoon, I decided to enter the city. Paddling to shore in a shikara, a small Kashmiri boat, I arrived just in time to catch a bus heading into town. The bus was crammed with people. In the aisle, a group of Muslim women, forbidden from revealing an inch of skin, stood wearing long, heavy burqas. Unfortunately, the bus ride was a jerky one. Each start and stop left them scrambling to maintain their covering.
As I wandered through the heart of the old city, the 600-year-old Jama Masjid Mosque loomed ahead of me. Passing through its magnificent central gates, I reached the enormous prayer halls. The building was designed to accommodate over 30,000 worshippers. I sat under a huge stone column and thought about the vast scale of the place. All right, and now it's time to go through these two paragraphs. The first one begins with, later in the afternoon, I decided to enter the city. Now, Mike, you started off by being in a really remote place and relaxing, but now you're actually entering the city.
That's right. As much as I love the tranquility, I guess I'm just a person that likes excitement, so I decided to enter the city. But, of course, I was out on a houseboat, so I couldn't just walk into town. I had to paddle to shore. Paddling is what you do in a boat when you take sort of a long paddle and you use it to push your way through the water. Any sort of long, slow motion going through the water is called paddling. So I was paddling to shore in a shikara, a small Kashmiri boat.
Now, what exactly is a shikara? Like, what does it look like?
Well, if you look back to the day one photos, you can see some small brown shikaras in some of those pictures. I'm not talking about the colorful blue and yellow boats, but the small, thin brown ones. It's like a small canoe, except one end is very high in the water. It's very distinct to Kashmir.
Well, that's interesting. So you took this shikara and you were paddling it yourself, and then you arrived just in time to catch a bus heading into town.
That's right. And the bus was crammed with people. It was filled with people. You probably couldn't get more people on there if you tried. I couldn't believe that I fit on it, but as soon as the bus stopped, I was pushed in and off we went.
Okay, listeners, let's listen to today's By the Way.
Whoa, Anne. That bus we were on was crammed with people.
You're right, Joe. I've never seen a bus so full in my life.
It's interesting that you can cram a bus full of people, but no one would say it is stuffed with people. To stuff is usually used with things, not people.
形容公车挤满了人，可以说 the bus is crammed with people. 但是不能说 the bus is stuffed with people. Stuff当动词是将某物填塞入某个容器中，人无法当作物品填塞，所以不适用。
When you use the word cram, it means to put more of something into a container than it was meant to hold.
Cram指的是塞到爆，通常指人或物均可。例如, we crammed into my car.
Like the way you always cram too much clothing into your suitcase when you go on vacation.
or the way you cram food into your mouth at the all-you-can-eat restaurant.
You can cram or stuff things into a box, a bag, into anything that holds something. But after you've eaten enough food, you would never say, I'm crammed. Instead, you would say, I'm stuffed. Or you can say, I'm full.
把东西塞进箱子袋子里面，动词用 cram 或是 stuff 都可以。但当你吃撑了，可不能说 I'm crammed， 而要说 I'm stuffed 或是 I'm full。
See you next time.
All right, we're back. In the aisle, a group of Muslim women, forbidden from revealing an inch of their skin, stood wearing long, heavy burqas. All right, so here I'm guessing that you're talking about the aisle of the bus, where people walk down to get a seat. And you saw a group of Muslim women, and they were basically completely covered because they were wearing burqas, right?
That's right. They are forbidden from revealing an inch of skin. The Muslim word for that is haram, if you're not allowed to do something. So they couldn't reveal any skin according to their particular brand of religious beliefs. Now, I want to stress that not all Muslims believe this very strict type of Islam, but there are some Muslims that believe that women should not show any skin, and so these women had to wear these long, heavy burqas.
That's right, because they're forbidden from showing their skin, and I've actually heard this before. Unfortunately, it would be pretty hot, I think, under that burqa. Well, Mike, while you were there, did it seem like these women were uncomfortable?
Well, some of them were, some of them were not. It's not that they were uncomfortable being that way or leaving the house that way, because again, those were their religious beliefs and they were comfortable following them. But the only problem is, as we see in the next sentence, the bus ride was a jerky one. So the bus was constantly going forwards and backwards and starting and stopping very quickly. So I had a very difficult time keeping my balance and keeping standing up, and I was just wearing shorts and a t-shirt. So for these women who were wearing these long, sort of flowing, heavy burqas, it was very difficult for them to keep their balance.
So it makes sense that each start and stop left them scrambling to maintain their covering. And also, if you're saying that a person is scrambling around, it's almost like they're in a rush and they're really kind of anxious about it because they have to keep covered at all times.
That's right, the bus is starting and stopping and these women are trying not to fall down, but they also have to do it while making sure that they don't reveal any skin. So it's a difficult situation for them to be in. They're holding onto the poles, but they're also making sure that the burqa stays covering everything.
Well, I know that when my friend went to Saudi Arabia earlier this year, she said it was the same thing with the women there. If a man comes into the room and it's mainly women, they'll actually have to try and cover themselves up as quickly as possible.
That's true, but I think that the Saudi Arabian covering is slightly different. I know that the burqa is very specific to the Pakistani, Kashmiri, sort of Afghan region.
That's right. Okay, and now let's continue on to the second paragraph. Now, Mike here writes, as I wandered through the heart of the old city, the 600-year-old Jama Masjid Mosque loomed ahead of me. So you're walking through the city and you're seeing this mosque.
That's right. A mosque is basically a Muslim place of prayer. And it was interesting because most mosques, Christians or Westerners are not allowed to enter. But this one was open to us, so I was able to walk right into this incredibly large, very impressive mosque.
And you got to pass through its magnificent central gates because, as you said, it was looming ahead of you. So I'm guessing it was incredibly big. And you reached the enormous prayer halls.
That's right. The building was designed to accommodate over 30,000 worshippers. And if it was designed to accommodate that many people, that means that that's the number of people that should be able to worship there, to pray there at the same time. So if you can imagine 30,000 people, that's a huge number of people, isn't it?
That's right. They can actually fit 30,000 worshippers, people who go to the mosque to pray. And so there at the mosque, you sat under a huge stone column and thought about the vast scale of the place. Was it really that big?
It was incredibly huge. If you can think about 30,000 people fitting into a very small, closed area, 30,000 people is the number of people that you'd normally fit into like a sports stadium, you know? And that's a different structure where it's very open and people can sit around in a circle. A Muslim prayer hall is like a big, long hall, and people have to sit in the long line. So if you can imagine 30,000 people sitting in these long rows, that's the scale of this place that we're talking about.
Well, they did expect to have that many people go there because it was designed to accommodate that many people. All right, so that's the end of this paragraph. Now it's time for some Chinese explanation.
Hello, my name's Daphne. 刚才在节目一开始我们听到的是 Mike 呢，他在模仿 a Muslim call to prayer， 也就是叫回教徒来祷告的这种声音。The bus was crammed with people. 下面那句话呢，是在说明巴士里头那种混乱、那种骚动的情形。Mike 用到一个字，就是 commotion， C-O-M-M-O-T-I-O-N， C-O-M-M-O-T-I-O-N， commotion。这个句子呢，提到在这个巴士的走道上 ，a group of Muslim women。句子的动词呢是 stood 后面用一个 ing， 站着怎么样？英文有几个动词 stand, sit 跟 lie， 站着、坐着、躺着这几个动词，后面呢接 ing， 意思是站着怎么样、坐着怎么样、躺着怎么样。例如那名男子呢坐在那里看报纸， The man sat there reading newspaper。 那这里呢我们看到的是这一群伊斯兰教的女子呢 stood wearing long heavy burqas，说明他们穿着长长的袍子站在那里。那么中间这个 forbidden from revealing an inch of skin 呢，是一个过去分词片语，修饰这些女子他们是被禁止暴露身体的任何一个部分的。 forbid somebody to do something 是主动的用法，这里呢因为他们是被禁止，所以我们要用被动语态。因为路途非常的颠簸，所以 each start and stop left them scrambling to maintain their covering。 这里的 scrambling 呢用 ing 表示主动，说明他们必须要 keep their balance， 所以呢手忙脚乱的。进了城之后呢， Mike 看到一座清真寺， Passing through its magnificent central gates I reached the enormous prayer halls。因为清真寺非常的庄严，很壮观，所以我们看到像 magnificent， 像 enormous 这些形容词。再来我们看到的是 I sat under a huge stone column， huge 呢也是表示非常巨大的， and thought about the vast scale of the place。 vast 呢跟 huge 是一个同义词，也是表示这个地方的规模非常的大。
It's time for a short break, but don't go away. When we come back, we'll continue with the rest of today's article. Welcome back, everyone, to Landmark English. We're going to continue with the rest of today's article on Mike's trip to Kashmir. All right, so now it's time to read through the third and fourth paragraphs. I was startled out of my trance by a loud call of Allahu Akbar echoing throughout the neighborhood.It was the muezzin calling the faithful to prayer. In a matter of minutes, the once empty mosque began to fill. Masses of people crowded around the central fountain to perform a ritual cleaning before entering the massive prayer halls.
Fighting the tide of worshippers as best as I could, I made my way back to the entrance. I was not a Muslim, and it would have been disrespectful for me to stay for prayer.
Now we ended the second paragraph with Mike basically sitting under a huge stone column thinking about the vast scale of the place, but then something happened. You were startled, right?
That's right. I was surprised. I was just sort of sitting there under that column, just sort of thinking about the place and the history of the place. I was very deep in thought, almost in a trance because I was thinking so hard. And then over my shoulder I heard this long cry of Allahu Akbar.This very difficult sound to describe, which is sort of a recording sound, but it's also made live. It's electronic, but it's also a singer. It's very difficult to describe.
Well, it says here that it echoed throughout the neighborhood. So does that mean it doesn't matter where you are in the city, you're going to be able to hear this call?
That's right. Muslims are required to pray 5 times every day, and there are particular times when they're supposed to do these prayers. So these mosques are designed so that they can broadcast these calls to prayer, so that everybody in the city, all Muslims, no matter where you are, if you're asleep, if you're in your basement, if you have your headphones on, you can hear this call, so you'll know that it's time to pray. So it's very, very loud, as you can imagine, and very striking. So sitting in the mosque itself, it was deafening.
Well, then it makes sense that in a matter of minutes, the once empty mosque began to fill. So really, it didn't take very long for a lot of people to go into the mosque and start to pray.
That's right. It was amazing the way the crowds just flowed into the mosque. If you look at the photos that are on page 2, you can see a photo of a street scene outside the mosque in Kashmir's old city. There's a jewelry shop in the foreground. There's another of Kashmir's famous temples that you can see coming up in the back. And these are not very busy streets. It's sort of empty there. It's not very crowded. I was just walking along. And incidentally, if you look at that same photo, you can see a woman in black, which is a kind of burqa, although that's not the complete burqa. That's not the same thing that the women in the bus were wearing. But anyway, you can see it's not very crowded. And then, of course, this call to prayer sounds out, and suddenly it's full. The people just come out of every building to come into the mosque to pray.
Well, so what's the first thing that they have to do when they actually get to the mosque?
Well, the masses of people that were coming inside, they crowded around the central fountain to perform a ritual cleaning. Muslims believe that before you pray, you should be physically clean. You have to cleanse all your impurities, all your sin away. So if you look at this other photo where you can see a large fountain, in the background is this enormous mosque that I was standing at, on the sides of the trees, because there was a very beautiful garden there as well. And that's a picture of the fountain where the people were crowding around, splashing water on themselves to clean themselves off. It was a ritual cleaning. It was cleaning as part of their religious ritual.
That's right. It's a ceremony, or kind of like a ceremony, that they have to do each time before they pray. I know that I've heard of this before, but I don't think I've ever heard of them actually using a fountain in front of the mosque to clean themselves.
Yes, a lot of the mosques actually have fountains just for this purpose. It's very important that you have water there, because if people are going to be praying, they need to wash themselves first. So it makes sense to have a fountain or some source of water there.
Well, do they only have to wash their hands?
Well, it's mostly the hands and the arms and sort of the face and a little bit of the body. I mean, they're not jumping into the fountain and taking a bath. It's a ritual. Like we said, it's not about actually getting squeaky clean. It's about showing that you're cleaning off your sin, that you want to be pure and clean before God.
So all of these people were coming in, they were getting ready to pray, and so they were doing their ritual cleaning, and then you were fighting the tide of worshippers as best as you could, because you're trying to get back to the entrance.
That's right. I was fighting against this tide of worshippers. If you can imagine the tides in the ocean, sort of the movements of water, well, all of the people were coming from the outside into the mosque. So if you can imagine the tides, we talk about tides of water, basically means the waves moving in and out. These people, because they were all moving in the same direction, it was like walking against the tide, almost like walking up a river. Just this many, many, many people pushing against me. So I was trying my best to make my way back to the entrance.
Well, I think a lot of people have been in this kind of situation before. I know that whenever I want to get off the MRT during a really busy time, you have to fight against a lot of people because they're all trying to cram into the MRT. You're trying to get out, but there are just too many of them, so it's like you're pushing water away. It's like you have to push against a wave.
That's right, except I didn't really feel like being as impolite as some people on the MRT are, because these are people that want to pray. They're not trying to inconvenience you, but you're just trying to get around them so you can get to the entrance.
Well, it's interesting that the very last sentence of this paragraph, you say that I was not a Muslim, and it would have been disrespectful for me to stay for prayer. Now, is this true? Generally, people who are not Muslim, they're not allowed to stay in the mosque during prayer?
That's right. As I said, many mosques around the world don't let non-Muslims enter at all. A lot of the mosques do that. Now, these mosques, you were allowed to go inside, but you had to leave during the prayer times, because that's the time when the mosque is more holy and everyone there is sort of channeling their energy towards God. And so it's difficult. If you're a non-Muslim, it's not a good place for you to be. They're praying and they only want to be around Muslims, people who believe the same things that they do.
That's right. I can just imagine it wouldn't matter what religion you believe in. You would just hope that if someone's visiting your church or mosque or temple, that they treat it with respect.
Absolutely. Respect is always important in these issues.
Okay, so that's the end of the last two paragraphs. Now it's time for some more Chinese explanation.
前面那段提到坐在这么庄严的一个清真寺里 ,Mike 呢 ,he thought about the vast scale of the place. 在这个时候呢当然他想得出神想得发呆了。英文当中有一个片语就是 be in a trance, 也就是这个人呢在想事情想得非常的出神。可是有一个声音呢让他回过神来。所以第三段的这句话提到 ,I was startled out of my trance, 本来在沉思现在呢醒了过来而且是被吓醒的所以这里有 out of my trance 呢说明他被这个声音吓醒这个声音是什么呢就是第二句话所提到的那么后面呢有一个片语说明这个声音就是 calling the faithful to prayer the 后面加上形容词 the faithful 等于集合名词的复数形也就是虔诚的信徒要虔诚的回教徒呢来祷告所以很快的 masses of people crowded around the central fountain crowd 在这里当动词来用就是聚集在一起群众聚集在一起的目的呢是 to perform a ritual cleaning a ritual cleaning 说明这种清洗的仪式呢是希望能够 clean off your sin 也就是把身上的罪恶给洗涤掉在什么之前要做这种 ritual cleaning 呢 before entering the massive prayer halls massive 这个字呢跟 huge 还有 vast 一样都是形容规模非常大的进入这个祈祷厅之前一定要把身体洗干净再来最后一段呢一开始是一个现在分词片语它形容的是句子的主词 I 也就是 Mike 因为他要出来所以必须要 fighting the tide of worshippers as best as I could as 什么 as one could 等于 as 什么 as possible 也就是尽量他尽量希望能够抵挡进来的这些朝圣者因为他要到出口的地方去 Mike 告诉我们 He was not a Muslim 因为他不是回教徒 It would have been disrespectful for me to stay for prayer It would 后面用完成式这里呢是表示一种假设语气如果他留下来的话呢这种行为是 disrespectful 也就是不尊敬的这个字的 respect 呢是它的字根也就是尊敬后面加上 ful 是一个形容词尊敬的字首加上一个 dis 有除去的意思就变成了不尊敬了
It's time for another short break, but don't go away. When we come back, we'll read through today's article one more time.
Okay, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. So let's just go back through today's article and we can remember what we were talking about. Of course, we started out with me paddling to shore in a little boat and getting on a bus which was packed with people, looking at all the different cultures, the Muslim women wearing their big, long burqas, and I was standing there on the bus. Now, I was walking through the old city and got to the 600-year-old Jama Masjid Mosque. I went inside this incredibly vast, very old building, and then I was suddenly startled. I was surprised. I heard this incredibly loud call, and it was the call to prayer, and the mosque began to fill up with people, and so I had to walk against this wave of people coming into the mosque to try and get back outside, because since I'm not a Muslim myself, it was disrespectful. It would not have been polite for me to stay for the prayer.
Well, it's really great that you still got to see the inside of the mosque, even though you were startled by the call to prayer. Okay, now it's time to read through today's article one last time.
Later in the afternoon, I decided to enter the city. Paddling to shore in a shikara,a small Kashmiri boat. I arrived just in time to catch a bus heading into town. The bus was crammed with people. In the aisle, a group of Muslim women, forbidden from revealing an inch of skin, stood wearing long, heavy burqas. Unfortunately, the bus ride was a jerky one. Each start and stop left them scrambling to maintain their covering.
As I wandered through the heart of the old city,
The 600-year-old Jama Masjid Mosque loomed ahead of me, passing through its magnificent central gates. I reached the enormous prayer halls. The building was designed to accommodate over 30,000 worshippers. I sat under a huge stone column and thought about the vast scale of the place. I was startled out of my trance by a loud call of Allahu Akbar echoing throughout the neighborhood. It was the muezzin calling the faithful to prayer. In a matter of minutes, the once empty mosque began to fill. Masses of people crowded around the central fountain to perform a ritual cleaning before entering the massive prayer halls.
Fighting the tide of worshippers as best as I could, I made my way back to the entrance. I was not a Muslim, and it would have been disrespectful for me to stay for prayer.
It's time for today's vocabulary. Paddle. Max and Michelle paddled their boat all the way to the shore.
Forbid. Teresa's mother forbids her to go outside alone at night.
Scramble. The students scrambled to clean up the mess before the teacher arrived.
Accommodate. The tent we rented for the weekend could easily accommodate 6 people.
Startle. Jack was startled when the smoke alarm went off.
Ritual. Jesse watched a documentary about tribal wedding rituals in Australia.
And, of course, we have our oral practice for today. Now, here we can see the Muslim faith involves many rituals. Now, what are some rituals, religious or otherwise, that you perform on a regular basis, Mike?
Well, I'm not a very religious person. I've been exposed to many different religions, and so I find it difficult to follow just one. But anything that you do every day as part of something can be a ritual. For example, when we come in to record, when we put our papers out, when we mark them up, that's the ritual that we do before we record. Or maybe if you brush your teeth a particular way, you can say that that's your ritual.
But also different cultures have different rituals. For example, Chinese people, they do certain things. For example, on Tomb Sweeping Festival, what do? They go and clean off the tombs of their ancestors. This is a ritual that most people do. Okay, listeners, we're basically out of time. I hope you enjoyed today's article, but please remember that tomorrow we're going to be continuing this unit with our third and final article. Until then, my name is Lily.
And I'm Mike.
See you next time.